The House Workforce Committee will come to order. Representative Ryder, have you had a chance to look at the minutes?
I have, Mr. Chair.
Can I get a motion to move the minutes?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
All those in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The minutes are approved. First on the agenda this morning is House File 4509, and I will move that this bill be referred to the Ways and Means Committee. Welcome, Mr. Chair, to the Workforce Committee to your bill.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members. I'm so excited and proud to present House File 4509, which seeks a one-time appropriation of $9 million to develop the Rise Up Center at 2808 Hennepin Avenue South, which is in the heart of District 61A, where I represent. And this is an opportunity center and energy resilience hub where multiracial, low-income working families can access pre-apprenticeships, job readiness training in the fields of green energy, construction, food processing, and more. And so I appreciated the fact that the legislature gave some seed money to this last year. But what's different this year than last year is there's an actual building, an actual facility. It's a former YWCA site. I've had the chance to tour it twice, maybe three times, and it is ideal. It is ideal for the kind of vision and program that so many groups, labor groups, UNIDOS and others have been promoting for years. So the fact that they have the site is so critically important. It will bring hope, vitality, and progress to an area that desperately needs it. This is an area that has suffered a lot of impacts from COVID, from concerning events and violence of the summer of 2020. It brings together an unprecedented partnership between labor and grassroots organizations, including SEIU Local 26, Unite Here Local 17, Minnesota Training Partnership, Future Builders Cooperative, I mentioned UNIDOS, the New Justice Project, UFCW. Thank you for all the UFCW workers that are here today that made it out early in the morning. Building Dignity and Respect Standards Council, Tending the Soil are all part of the project. So this facility offers the state an opportunity to partner with these organizations in building workforce training programs, exactly what this committee is about, and it can be sustained over time. And so all of these organizations have the ability to recruit workers, bring more resources, grow robust training programs to build the state economy. And in 2023 alone, these programs trained 400 people, were placed in good-paying, stable jobs. And I also want to add, as the chair of the Transportation Committee, this facility is located right on a future bus rapid transit stop. You couldn't have a better situation for workers to get here. And this is called the E-Line. It will connect the University of Minnesota with Southdale Center, going through the heart of both downtown and uptown and the University of Minnesota. So ideal for people to get there. And so, as I said, the emphasis will be on recruiting and training low-income workers from diverse backgrounds. And we have large BIPOC representation, both in the leadership of this effort and in the workers who will be recruited and trained. So there is such a need for this facility. It couldn't come at a more important time. It couldn't be located at a more important and vital location. And so finally, Mr. Chair, members, I just wanted to get into some of the fiscal issues. House File 4509 is a $9 million appropriation from the Workforce Development Fund to the Commissioner of Employment and Economic Development for a grant to Tending the Soil, which is a 501c3 organization. And again, the idea is to design, redesign, renovate, construct, furnish, and equip the building I described at 2808 Hennepin Avenue South in Minneapolis. It will be a workforce and development and job training center, administrative offices, and a public gathering space. And with that, Mr. Chair, members, I know there are several testifiers. I don't know if you want to take questions from the committee first to hear the testimony, but I'll be here.
Thank you, Mr. Representative Frank Hornstein. We will hear from testifiers first, and then we'll move to questions. First is Debbie Prokop from Minnesota Training Partnership. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record, and feel free to share your pronouns if you like, and proceed with your testimony.
Good morning, Chair Shong, members of the committee. My name is Debbie Prokop. If you need to spell that, it's P-R-O-K-O-P-F. I use she, her pronouns. I'm here with the Minnesota Training Partnership to speak in support of House File 4509. Minnesota Training Partnership is a 501c3 workforce development organization that creates pathways towards sustainable careers through collaborative partnerships. We work with unions, community organizations, and employers across multiple industries to build on-ramps to family-sustaining jobs. For example, with some of our Rise Up Center partners, we have established a registered apprenticeship program for high-rise window cleaners, only the second such program in the nation, created a registered apprenticeship program for community safety specialists in North Minneapolis, which equips local residents with skills such as de-escalation and mental health crisis response. Implemented a green cleaning training program for janitors, which results in a certification from the U.S. Green Building Council. Developed a comprehensive bilingual hospitality training program to help rebuild the hospitality workforce, which was devastated by the COVID-19 pandemic. In addition, Minnesota Training Partnership runs several programs that are open to the community, such as a Union Jobs for Women program to help connect low-income women with high-wage careers in non-traditional fields, a program to train clinic assistants for roles in Health Partners clinics, a SNAP employment and training program to help job seekers with food support, training, and job search assistance, and a dislocated worker program to help laid-off workers upskill and find new employment opportunities. As you can see, Minnesota Training Partnership plays a key role in helping workers achieve their career goals while helping employers fill their critical workforce needs. We look forward to continuing and expanding this work with our partners in the Rise Up Center. The support offered by House File 4509 will help to ensure the ongoing viability of this diverse training hub in our community. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Rena Wong, President of UFCW Local 663. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record, share your pronouns if you like, and proceed with your testimony.
Good morning, Chair and members. My name is Rena Wong, and I am the president of United Food and Commercial Workers Local 663. We represent 17,000 essential workers in Minnesota, from grocery stores to meatpacking throughout Minnesota, from Brainerd to Worthington to Austin to the metro. And so the Rise Up Center represents a future for workers in Minnesota that we would not have access to otherwise. For example, using grocery stores, we have a majority of women who work on the front end as cashiers. You all have shopped at Cub, you all have shopped at Lunds and Byerly's, you've seen who works on the front end. And those tend to be lower paid entry level type positions, except that we have folks who are not entry level, who've worked there 5, 10, 20 years in these jobs, and we need to create pathways for those folks to be able to access the jobs like meat cutting, where you make $36 an hour, $10 a week for health insurance for full family, and full employer paid retirement. So the Rise Up Center represents an opportunity for us to create the training programs and the skills, and to close that skills gap where these folks would have access to childcare, would have access to the ability to train and to skill up to take on these jobs that are gonna be what runs Minnesota. And so very much appreciate your support and hope that you all can see the opportunities that this will present for the state, not just in the metro, but even in greater Minnesota, where we will take our programs, even though it's based in Minnesota, and we will then export this training and programs into greater Minnesota, where we have so many new Americans who need these sorts of skills to be able to continue thriving in Minnesota.
Thank you. Discussion, Lead Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to thank Representative Hornstein for bringing this bill forward, and I have a good couple questions about, I guess the obvious one would be, this appears to be a bonding request because we're talking about building a building or renovating a building. And has this been run through that committee already, Mr. Chair? And if so, has there been any responses that have been done prior to this question, this session as well? And I've got a couple more follow-up questions.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Baker. We have a bonding proposal as well for this project. We had received bonding last year, but I think that this really sort of crosses into both jurisdictions. Particularly, the fact is that it is a workforce, is really meant to be a workforce development center, and so we really have the bill parked in both committees.
Lead Baker.
Mr. Chair. Thank you. And I don't know if this is a question that anybody here can answer, if it's anybody from DEED or workforce, but has this fund actually supported or provided dollars for a structure like this outside of what we're used to doing is like a lot of programming thing and getting people to workforce support? Has this happened before in the past out of this fund? I don't know if anybody can answer that.
Lee Berg, I believe it has before I came in office, but if someone from DEED is here can give an answer. Do we not have DEED here this morning?
I can hear
We have a witness that can answer that.
To testify, please state your name for the record, share your pronouns if you like, and proceed with your statement.
Thank you, Chair Zhang. My name is Kat Salonik-Schlatt. She, her pronouns work for me. I'm the executive director of Tending the Soil Minnesota, which is the organization requesting the funds with Representative Hornstein. Representative Baker, to your question, my understanding from speaking with Senator Pappas, chairwoman of Capital Investments in the Senate, is that prior to 2022, so 2021 and prior, capital funds have been spent out of workforce investment for workforce projects, and the culture shift really happened starting with that new 10-year.
Lee Baker.
Okay. Thank you for that. I guess I
but I believe Deed should answer.
I agree. I think Deed should have been here, and it's too bad that they're not. But we'll follow up on that because, again, I like this idea, but this center is important. This work of our committee is to try to help anyone we can in all sectors to make sure that we provide these opportunities for as many new Americans, BIPOC communities, anyone that we need. This sounds like a perfect location, Mr. Chair, and I think this is a really good place. And maybe, you know, we're supported by a lot of the unions, of course, which are vital. Because this is funded by really the whole state workforce funding mechanism, is this also available to other non-union contractors, non-union industries? I just want to see, how does that collaboration work with all workers? Mr. Chair.
To testify. Representative Hornstein.
Yeah, I think it is certainly open to all, and there are other state sources of funding as well. Because I think this is really looked at as a really important hub. You know, in the clean energy sector, we heard also about there's also security here that will be trained. We heard about building maintenance. These are all areas where there's a workforce shortage. And so getting people trained up in these skill areas is absolutely critical for our economy and for the economic security of workers.
Lee Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, and again, just my final question is just the if this all were to come to be and the organization that takes over the facility, then what is the plan to make sure this is being maintained and being sustainable for the long term? Because $9 million is a very expensive place to have this. We want to make sure it's going to be there for a long time. So what is a long-range plan of sustainability to try to, again, generate revenue to make sure that the operations are going to be strong in the next 20 years?
To testify?
Chair Zhang, Representative Baker, the funds that we're requesting are for redevelopment of the space. From there on out, the space will be self-funded by the programs. In addition to the unions that will be in there, there are several statewide nonprofits that will have space in the building. The space will be a CIC or community investment model, so similar to a condo building, which will have both tenant occupants and private entities who are owning their portion of the building. Just to refer back to a question you asked earlier, Representative Baker, about the statewide nature of the project, the organizations in the building are truly statewide, with memberships represented in both central Minnesota and southern Minnesota. And it's really imperative that these workers have the opportunity to come into the center. While it is metro-based, we'll provide a resource for our whole state. The facility will also have a ability for long-term child care so that workers who are primarily women will have the ability to come from anywhere in the state, have a place for their kids to go while they're going through classes. So it makes it much more sustainable.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Representative Weems.
Thank you, Chair Zhang. Thank you, Chair Hornstein, for bringing this audacious plan to us. I think what I understand is the $9 million is really for that refurbishment, redesign of the space. And I'm curious if there's a workforce opportunity in that, specifically on the redesign portion and the refurbishment and all those things that go into the building trades craft, from electricity to plumbing and those. And if Chair or Testifier Kack could explain, thanks.
Chair Hornstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Weems. Excellent question, and you're thinking along the lines we are as well. And our testifier can give you more details.
The testifier.
Chair Zhang, Representative. So we are going to have one of the programs that is being piloted right now, which is a builders cooperative. So it is a non-union but union-approved alternative construction company called Future Builders Co-op that was founded and developed as a pilot program with Unidos Minnesota and 100% campaign, and that company will have a role in the construction and redevelopment.
Representative Weems.
Thank you, Chair Zhang. Thank you for that answer. I'm excited to hear about how that plan works out, so thank you very much.
Representative Harder.
Thank you, Chair Zhang. Representative Hornstein. $9 million is a fair amount of taxpayer dollars, and I'm just curious if the group is partnering with other agencies or businesses, whether it's city or your county, in helping to fund the dollars that are needed for this building.
Chair Hornstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Absolutely. First of all, I would say the return on investment here is going to be tremendous. So, yes, $9 million is a sum, but really I think we are going to get so much return. I know that there are some local entities and private foundations that have been also engaged with this, and the testifier can give you more details.
To the testifier.
Chair Zhang, Representative Harder, thanks for asking. Any chance that we can help promote the capital fundraising campaign is always welcome. So we are fundraising a match to the $9 million through private philanthropic donors, private individuals, and then the organizations themselves will be including their own capital in the campaign.
Representative Harder.
That's all. Thank you.
Representative Sinsomiro.
Thank you, Chair Zhang. Thank you, Chair Hornstein, for bringing this bill. I just want to first, I think, you know, Lead Baker, I think you bring up some good points that I think our committee should talk about. You know, I think we have heard a lot of bills around, you know, workforce development programming, which I think we can all say is really important. But I think we also all recognize that people need space to do the programming in. And sometimes for some of our groups that are most, I think, deeply rooted in the community, getting that space is kind of key to being able to do any programming. I know that last week in committee, you know, we heard a bill from Representative Olson about, you know, It sounded like, you know, capital needs for a child care center in his district, and I was very supportive of that. I think we should be more flexible about how we are spending these dollars to really make sure that we're kind of matching the needs that we see on the ground. So I'm really supportive of this project for a few reasons. You know, one, I've just been really impressed by the coalition that has been built around the Rise Up Center. You know, unions that especially in Minneapolis don't always come together with some of our nonprofit or movement partners are coming together to really say that we are all recognizing the workforce challenges that we are having as a city, as a state. And we know that, you know, we need to bring lots of partners in to solve these workforce challenges, and especially we need to bring in community organizations that are trusted, that have deep roots in the communities, that can help people get to these really good union jobs, but maybe need to be that kind of bridge. So I really support, I support the work. And I think the last thing I want to say, and I know that Chair Hornstein, you know, deeply knows this, but I think the location for this is really important. You know, as someone who grew up in Minneapolis, I know that when I was a teenager, Uptown Minneapolis was like the coolest place, right? And so it has been, you know, really heartbreaking to kind of, you know, see the evolution of that community. And if you drive down Hennepin right now, you see so many vacant buildings, right? And there's complexities to that, but I definitely believe that one of those reasons is that we do have, you know, landlords who benefit from keeping those storefronts vacant, right? And have left our community and nothing has come back. And so I think that this location, very close to transit, accessible for people from lots of different places, but also a community that I think really, really needs a boost at this moment, is just another reason why I want to say I really support the project.
Representative Hassan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Chair Hornstein, for bringing this bill. As another Southsider, I really appreciate this bill. I know that our community in Southside Minneapolis and Minneapolis in general has been through a lot. And this is part of healing. In order for us to heal, we really need to mend the broken things in our community. Uptown is dying. I had a conversation with City of Minneapolis. What do we do about Uptown? How can we bring back Uptown? Because Uptown used to be this lively space that everyone, like Rep. Sasamura said, that everyone wants to go. Now it's all empty buildings that are all vacant. This building, this is money will be used to bring more foot traffic to Uptown, which I'm super excited about. And of course, you know, it will be used for workforce training, skill training, and bigger than that, community building, which we really, really need right now. We need our community to have spaces where they can go, feel that they belong in this space. Look around the room today. This is what diversity looks like. This is what Minnesota looks like. So we really, in order for us to change the status quo, we got to think outside of the box. And this bill, the reason why I appreciate it, is thinking outside of the box and bringing creative solutions to the problems that we have. It's not only going to create jobs, it's also going to mend our community. It's going to have a space that heals our community. It's going to bring foot traffic to Uptown and, of course, you know, more jobs. So thank you for bringing this bill.
Representative Zalesnikar.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Representative Hornstein. I think this is a very interesting bill, and I think we all know the need for the trades in the state of Minnesota and the workforce development. So my question was simply, too, on bonding, you know, how we're going to use the funds and which is the most appropriate thing. The intent of what this bill is, I don't think, is questionable. I think it is well needed. I would hope there's strong partnerships in the community with chamber and school districts that are doing strong trade programs. I would hope that would be considered as methods to partner together within the communities to have that layer of partnership so that there's success after training to lead to employment. So those initiatives, I think, are well needed in the state of Minnesota, and I'm glad to see that it would benefit the entire state. So thank you.
Closing statement, Chair Hornstein.
Well, Mr. Chair, committee, thank you really for a great hearing and the support and good questions and interest on both sides of the aisle. And I couldn't have said it better than both Representative Sansevieria and Chair Hassan. I mean, this is really, really important for this part of town, and I think really important for the workforce of the future when we talk particularly about green energy. So, members, I really appreciate the hearing and the questions, and look forward to more discussion as this legislation moves forward in the process.
Thank you, Chair Hornstein. I will renew my motion that House File 4509 be referred to Ways and Means Committee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. The bill is on its way to Ways and Means. Thank you, Chair Hornstein.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair.
Next is House File 4968, Representative Agbaje. Welcome to the committee, Representative Agbaje. To your bill. I will move that House File 4968 be laid over possible inclusion. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
As folks exit, if you could please keep the noise level down, we really appreciate it. We still have a committee here to convene.
Mr. Chair and committee members, today I'm here to present House File 4968. Hoping to have some of the youth with me to sit back there, but that's fine. So this bill is to support funding for an organization known as Change Starts with Community. They have been working out of Shiloh Temple International Ministries in North Minneapolis for about the past year, primarily to give young people hope and opportunity. In this past year, they've worked with at least 20 young people, many of them who are referred to them from MPD or Hennepin County Juvenile Services. And Change Starts with Community works with them by preparing to give them a job, so through job training. They also do set them up with jobs, so there is, you know, opportunity to earn some money through this organization. And then they show them different career paths, particularly now through agriculture with their partnership with Cargill. And then they also support with any food insecurity that they or their families may have. So to me, I see this organization as an opportunity to really, like, treat the whole person, giving them a job, providing them with food, helping to make sure that they're secure and seeing better opportunities outside of sometimes the violence and trauma that they may see in their neighborhoods. Since Change Starts with Community has started their work, they have seen zero deaths and no recidivism among any of their participants. So I would say this group is actually doing the real work by showing different paths and supporting young people as they embark on those paths. So I believe I have some testifiers, and then I will also look forward to questions.
Okay. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record, share your pronouns if you like, and proceed with your testimony.
Hi, Chair Jung. I am Jalila Abdul Brown, J-A-L-I-L-I-A, and brown like the color. I am the executive director of Change Starts with Community, located at Shiloh Temple in North Minneapolis. For the record, last year we did a pilot program with youth. And what we did, we took 23 youth with Cargill's vision to provide youth with jobs. We start seeing a lot of carjackings and car thefts in the city of Minneapolis. We're located right in the hub. I like to say Shiloh is the hub of the community. Nothing happens in Minneapolis without first coming through Shiloh Temple. We serve over 9,000 people a month. So when the CEO came on site, he came with the idea to say, let's hire young people. Let's give these young people jobs. So Cargill, the Cargill Foundation, and the CEO of Cargill begin to fund these stipend youth jobs out of their pockets. And then they also begin to fund our jobs on site for community. We are community-led, community-fed. No one sees as many people as we do in the city of Minneapolis. We also data track everything we do. One of our success stories, we had one youth who had stolen 50 cars. He was only 13 years old. With that, we enrolled him in the job program through DOCCR, which is Juvenile Hennepin County, and that youth did not go back to the streets. That youth has not stolen another car, and that youth has also not went back into the jail system. So I like to say the best violence prevention is a job.
Thank you. Do we have another testifier? Representative Mate?
Yeah, I think if any of the young people want to come up, I think, yes.
Hi, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record, share your pronouns if you'd like, and proceed with your testimony.
Hi, my name is Ramaya, and the job experience was great. It really helped me understand that there is always something that someone, there is always something or someone that can help you get through the right path. I feel like the job experience definitely kept me off the streets. Ever since I became working with UGVI youth, I've really been focusing on life ahead and getting things right. And not letting everything that people say tricking me into fighting. The meeting with CEO Cargill was good. They were telling us more about our future and businesses. They really showed me that whatever I put my mind to, I could do. And I really loved the educational career fair trips. We were experiencing different things, such as the Walker Arts Center, some things that I never knew about until I was brought there. I feel like maybe youth should experience more, like talking about our race and our culture, more things like that. And how my life has changed is I learned that violence is not always the answer, no matter how you look or no matter how anybody else's look. I started to get more into sports. I get to get my mind off things and to lead me to the right path. And like we always say, stay safe, alive, and free.
Thank you. Do you have any other testifiers for President Bakke?
I think one more.
Good morning. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and share your pronouns if you'd like and proceed with your testimony.
My name is Quentin. Pronouns he, him. And, Change Starts with Community has helped me because they give you a different way. You get to experience different things you do in life, such as dealing with different people in the world. We deal with all types of people, homeless people, and all types of stuff. We've been put through different circumstances while working there, and it just teach you different things and how to deal with people. We worked with the CEO of Cargill. He told us we're doing a good job, keep going, stuff like that. And then, you know, I just
thank you. Thank you for testifying. Question, discussion.
Bishop Howell, did you want to? Nope, that's it.
Discussion, Lead Baker.
Thank you. Excuse me, Mr. Chair, and Representative Agbaje. I have a question for Ms. Brown, if she would come back, please. This is really good stuff that you're diving into. As a person who has had employees for the last 30 years in my own work, I know how important a job is, and I think what you're doing is really remarkable stuff. So to Ms. Brown, as an employer, I've mentioned to this table before, we as employers need to do a better job being better taught how we can help youth in at risk, or how can we be more helpful. Through your last project with Cargill, and thank them so much for what they're doing, they're planting the seed that maybe we can help continue. What have you learned that can help other employers be better employers for kids, for youth at risk? Any advice you can give us?
I would say, Chair Jung, and thank you so much, Representative, I would say take the barriers down. You got to first find out what are the barriers, right? But then remove the red tape to get a lot of these youth hired, and then start looking at them as individuals, and then find out what pipelines they want to go down, right? Sometimes we automatically put them on a pipeline to prison, but we can put them on a pipeline to success and a pipeline to jobs that maybe one day they're sitting in my seat, right? The goal is to get them to sit in our seat. And I would say one thing I did love about Cargill, with this bill, they are going to continue to cover their educational expenses, the field trips, and then also their food. Food is so huge in our community because North Minneapolis has the fifth largest food desert in America. So we see firsthand at Shiloh Temple with 9,000 individuals or more coming out our doors, we see the need, right? We're right there to fill the need as well. And then the reason why the state has to get behind this, not just one time, but continue this, because we have to make it sustainable. The only way we're going to continue to see results is by making this sustainable. And I want to say that the crime in Minneapolis decreased 40%, declined 40% when we took a lot of those higher at-risk youth off the streets, which was really only 5% of them.
Lead Baker.
Thank you. And again, maybe with the ongoing support with Cargill, and if this ends up giving you some resources, we can have employers understand what those barriers are, because sometimes we just don't know. I do not think about where someone's going to get their next meal. I've been lucky and blessed to not have to deal with that, but I don't know that journey of others. And so I as an employer, we need to understand that better. Maybe as an employer, we need to do more of feeding our workers and our employees. And again, that could be part of our flexibility to what we need to do to provide the best opportunity for them that we can provide. And again, largely, maybe it's clothing, uniforms, food, maybe it's transportation. So those are the kind of things we need to learn. And just so thank you for this. Again, I think it's a terrific idea. To the Mr. Chair, this is asking for money out of the general fund. Is that correct? Because I didn't think we had any targets. Is this something that is sort of set up right, or can you help me with just where this was coming from?
The Baker, I got a call from the Speaker last Friday that the conversation is still happening over at the other body.
Okay.
And so it's TBD. That's all I know.
So, Mr. Chair, we could have a small target.
We could not.
I'm being very
transparent.
I appreciate that. I just wanted to understand this because I wanted to follow the money. So thank you very much, and thank you for being here today.
Thank you, guys.
Representative Chair Beckerfin.
Thank you, Chair Zhang. And first, I wanted to thank the testifiers. I think anytime young people come testify and share their experience here, it is really powerful, and I know it's not necessarily everybody's favorite thing to do, and it can be really stressful, but I thought it was really important to hear directly from them, so I wanted to thank them for testifying. And then I really like this bill and the information that you shared about this, because I think a lot of times in this committee, it's sort of name of nonprofit, amount of money they're asking for, and we don't do a lot of policy work directly in this committee, but you've really tied together how funding a program like yours connects to our greater goals that we're trying to achieve at the legislature. You know, I serve on the Public Safety Committee. We talk all the time about recidivism and at-risk youth, and how do we stop the sort of the chain of events that leads a young person to making poor decisions. And so I think this really ties in with all of that, and really, you know, why do we feed kids, make sure they have food at school? Like, you're just like, this is really tying together a lot of the work that we do in other committees, and I think that's really important, and I wanted to lift that up. And then I was just listening to Lead Baker. You know, I think the important thing, and you pointed out right away at the beginning, is that what works for your community might not work for my community. It might not work for your community, but it's on us as employers. I own a small business in my community. It's on us to figure out what it is that our workers and our community need. It's not on the workers to beg us or tell us what needs to happen. It's sort of on us as the people who have the means and the ability and sort of are in that position to know our communities and sort of dig in and get to know what we might not know. You know, whether that's listening, you know, whether that's asking your employees. You know, I think a lot of times at work, it's sort of like you come in, you do your job, you leave. And yeah, they could clock in and I could not have conversations with them, or I could take the time to ask about their lives and sort of know that, like, the problem for my employees is housing. You know, I'm in Roseville, and, you know, finding housing that you can afford that's in a place where you want to live near your job. And then if that means that you can't afford the housing there and you have to live further away, and now transportation's the issue, now I can't get to work. You know, it's sort of all those sort of things that I think are really on us. And so I thought this was a really good bill to sort of highlight those things. And I really appreciate the partnerships. But you don't need to depend on the largesse of the Cargill Foundation for what you're doing to be important and meaningful and for us to fund you. So I appreciate that the partnerships are there. That's awesome. And also, the work you're doing has value whether they choose to support you or not. So I'm really hopeful we do get a target, because this is the kind of program I think we should definitely be looking at funding. So thank you so much for coming here with the bill today.
Sure, son.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Rebecca Badge, for this bill. And thank you, Ms. Brown, for, you know, talking about why this is important. A lot of times people or folks don't understand, who don't live in our communities or don't live in the city of Minneapolis, the problems that our youth are faced with. You give youth ample time to do nothing, they're going to get in trouble. That's the reality. You give them, you know, a hope. You give them a job. You give them a reason to get excited about life. They're going to be useful. And I want to thank the young people for being here and for sharing your stories. It's extremely important to hear from you because we're not in your shoes. We don't understand your world sometimes because your world is different than the world that we grew up. So hearing your experience really highlights the importance of this work. Thank you for the work that you're doing.
Closing statement, Representative Bakjay.
Thank you, Chair Zhang. Thank you, members of the committee. As you've seen, this is really strong work that's happening across North Minneapolis to really make our community thrive. And so I look forward to your support and consideration of this bill. Should the committee get a target?
So. I will renew my motion. House File 4968 be laid over for possible inclusion. Thank you, Representative Bakjay, and the testifiers. Next is House File 4943, Representative Fatizo Watu. Welcome to the committee. I will move that House File 4943 be laid over for possible inclusion. To your bill, Representative.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. Thank you for having me here today. I'm really pleased to chief author House File 4943, which is to expand and deepen the proven work of Women Venture, one of our most critical partners in supporting female entrepreneurs throughout Minnesota for over 40 years. Women Venture is Minnesota's only community development financial institution that focuses on female entrepreneurs. And in 2023, the legislature provided $1 million to Women Venture's Business Development and Capital Grants Program to help Minnesota's vital childcare businesses to run sustainable businesses, enhance their facilities, and reduce burnout. Supporting these businesses through small capital grants and loans, along with business support and training, is necessary to provide Minnesota's existing but flailing child care capacity and hopefully create more of these slots for children all across the state. House File 4943 directs $8 million from the Workforce Development Fund for a grant to Women Venture to support family child care providers throughout Minnesota with business development and management support, impactful microloans, and sharing of administrative services. This support for our family child care providers to focus on their priority, which is educating and caring for the children of Minnesota. And with that, Mr. Chair, I would like to introduce my testifier, Leanne Rasichak, who is the CEO of Women Venture.
Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record. Share your pronouns if you like and proceed with your testimony.
Good morning, Chair Zhang and committee members. My name is Leanne Rasichak. My pronouns are she, her, and I am CEO of Women Venture. Since January, in receiving state appropriated funds, Women Venture has deployed 20 grants totaling $100,000 and 8 loans totaling more than $250,000 to help child care providers improve their businesses and their facilities. Two of the child care providers are here with me today to share their stories of expansion and providing more child care slots for our communities while also running as sustainable businesses and benefiting early childhood education. The purpose of House File 4943 is to enable Women Venture to continue to support licensed child care providers in creating and retaining child care businesses to improve their financial viability while closing the widening ratio of children to child care providers. It's noteworthy that of the funds received, we've already deployed what was allotted for fiscal year 24 just in the first 3 months of this year. According to Wilder Research, there are more than 330,000 children ages 0 to 4 in Minnesota with less than 8,000 child care providers. In 2023, Minnesota lost 21 child care centers and 228 family child care businesses. This is roughly more than 2,000 child care slots that our state has lost. I believe we have an opportunity to boost Minnesota's economy by more than $2 billion if we can solve the child care crisis and support parents that want to be in the workforce with more child care provider options and address our workforce shortage that is occurring across the state of Minnesota. We have the opportunity at Women Venture to increase supply of child care to enable parents to participate in the workforce, which is primarily women who are at home shouldering the caregiving responsibilities. I want to thank you for your consideration. I'm grateful for the time with you today, and we're focused on the outcomes of generating more child care businesses launched and retained while adding thousands of child care slots here in the state of Minnesota.
Discussion, Lee Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and appreciate the work that you're doing. Women Venture is a good brand in Minnesota. You guys have done a lot of really good things, and this is, I know, really focused on the child care. Looking at the spreadsheet that we did last year, we did a lot of work here last year, and I think, again, as the author said, you might have received $1 million. It looks like there was $2 million coming your way from last year. Have you received that funding yet?
So it's broke.
Sorry.
Representative, thank you for the question. We had $1 million dedicated towards child care and $1 million dedicated towards food and agriculture. So the $1 million itself, kind of broken up across the biennium, as mentioned, fiscal year 2024, we have expended it at the end of this quarter.
Great. That's all I need. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Harder.
Thank you, Chair Zhang. Representative, my question is for the executive director. So $8 million is quite a bit of taxpayer money. Can you just share with the group here other groups that you do partner with to fulfill your mission? Thank you.
Yes, thank you for the question, Representative Harder. We are a part of a coalition, if you will, of ECE, early childhood educators, and that work in the ecosystem together. Women Ventures Lane, if you will, as a part of the work that we do, is really focused around the business aspect of helping our child care businesses run, see it as a business, providing some shared solutions from a technology perspective to help them with that portion of the business. Other partners that we work with include DHS, Deed as a part of the ecosystem, as well as then licensing, and when you think about Parent Aware and those programs, we're working with other nonprofit organizations that do similar work. However, they're not focused on the business aspect of it. They're focused on the content, the educational component, and so that's how and where we show up in the ecosystem, is in partnership with each other.
Representative Harder. Thank you. Vice Chair Brain.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question is for the Executive Director. So you're talking about expanding in the greater Minnesota, and I appreciate that point. We do have a great need in greater Minnesota for child care. My question, I'm just trying to figure this out a little bit more, because I do know that we already have six initiative foundations that basically do the work in greater Minnesota already, and I kind of feel like maybe we're all of a sudden putting ourselves in a position where we're now competing for dollars to help people in greater Minnesota. You know, the Southern Minnesota Initiative Foundation, the one that I know well because they're encompassing the district that I work in, you know, they've put out like $162 million since 1986. They're well invested in our community. And I'm just kind of curious, is this a situation where we're growing some sort of a competition for dollars here? I just help me out, because I'm trying to figure this out a little bit more. I want to support this just like I did last year,
yeah.
But I feel like the Minnesota Initiative Foundations are well invested in our communities. They work with our counties. They work with our cities. They kind of are on the boots on the ground already. They're kind of doing this work in greater Minnesota. So if you could respond to that, please.
So let's testify.
I appreciate the question. Given the numbers that we know, right, we lost more than 250 child care providers in the state last year. There's more than 330,000 children that we need to help to support ages 0 through 4. The crisis continues. We're seeing it in the data as far as parents that are without care and affordable care. We're also seeing it in our workforce issues and people not being able to get back to work. To answer your question, we're all in the arena together, if you will, trying to solve for this crisis, because we are not close to eliminating it. And from a specific to Women Venture and what we offer to our clients, there is a learning environment that's offered both virtually and in person. What we have found is that women feel that the environment is inclusive, that it's approachable, it's flexible, where there is care, and sees the person as a whole. And oftentimes we have child care providers or business owners that come to us, whether their business is child care or not, with their children in their laps to be able to participate in their programming. So we're making it accessible and do believe that there's a lane for us where we do provide a unique and valuable experience that is accessible to all. And we have people that we serve both in the Twin Cities core as well as outstate counties, and how we're able to do that is through that virtual training, through that kind of hand-in-glove experience that our team provides, which is a unique benefit. So we're adding a value in addition to the other support and resources that clients may be experiencing from other foundations and organizations.
If I may, Mr. Chair. Thank you. And Representative Brand, I think that that's a really, really good point. I mean, we're doing what we can do to address the child care crisis in Minnesota. My degree from college is actually in entrepreneurship, and so we know how hard it is to start and maintain a successful business, particularly in the child care space. I mean, we know that the numbers don't work. We know that particularly family child care providers, as Representative Zeleznikar and Representative Hemmingson-Yeager know, we were on the Children and Families Committee together. They don't often make a living wage, and parents really can't afford to pay more so that these business owners are able to earn what they deserve to earn for helping raise the next generation. One of the really exciting things that I have shared previously about Women Venture is the statistics that you have, Leanne, about the after going through your training processes, how many of your family and child care providers actually earn upwards of $20 an hour, as opposed to what we see, something much closer to $12 or $14 an hour. So I think that that's really a tremendous success, particularly just from the support that you provide in terms of teaching people how to run their business as a business. When so many family child care providers get into the space to support their own kids or to help out some neighbors, and they may not have that background training. So it just is really, I think, a specific way that we can invest in those folks with people who have that expert support and experience.
What's your brand?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One follow-up question. In the bill itself, there's no designation for the amount of that $8 million that would go towards Greater Minnesota. Is there an opportunity maybe to say that 50% or 60% or whatever the case may be might go towards Greater Minnesota? I'd like to put an amount on that, because I do know there's great need across our entire state, and I just want to make sure that, you know, I'm an advocate for Greater Minnesota. I do appreciate the opportunity to do as much as we can for the economic vitality of Greater Minnesota. I live in a place where the unemployment rate is the lowest in the entire nation, in the Greater Mankato area. And one of the limitations we have is housing, but clearly another one we have is child care. So I want to make sure that the most amount of dollars we can go towards the places that need it the most.
Thank you, Representative. I think that there's likely the ability for us to be able to do that and draw kind of a targeted, both in target outreach to Greater Minnesota to ensure that they are receiving equal opportunity and accessibility, both to the programming and funding that we provide through the dollars made available to us. Additionally, I want to mention that 69% of who we served were BIPOC child care providers, and 60% were also low income. So really trying to help, to the point of Representative Katiza Batun, increase the ability to earn a living wage while providing one of the most valuable resources, which is to care for our children. Thank you.
Representative Samira.
Thank you, Chair Zhang. Thank you, Representative Katiza Batun, for bringing this. I support this bill. You know, I know the work of Women Ventures, and I know the unique struggles that women entrepreneurs face, and I know a little bit about the programming that you all create for those structures. Women face barriers in terms of competing concerns around their own child care and caring for your family at the same time that you're starting a business. Navigating the financial world as a woman and some of the discrimination or stereotypes that come up with that. So I think this is really important work. I just do want to say, and I think I would guess that from the work that Representative Katiza Batun does, that she would probably agree. You know, you talked about the numbers just can't work, and it's really great to hear about the statistics of Women Ventures or the data that you have about the ability to increase, you know, the wages for us, particularly in-home providers. But, you know, I believe that a bigger conversation that we need to be having and bigger work that we need to be doing at the state is really what role is the government going to play in this system? Because we know that if people don't have childcare, they are kept out of the workforce, and then we are kind of in this cycle. So I know that for this year where we can't have that big conversation, I think, you know, this bill and measures like it make a lot of sense. But I think in the future, I really hope that this committee and more broadly the legislature can have a deeper conversation about how do we really help holistically solve this child care crisis. Thank you.
Representative Zeleznikar.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Representative, for bringing this bill. As you know, we share a passion on child care, and I live in an area, as Representative Brand, of Greater Minnesota, where we've had 50% decrease in family child care. And I wouldn't say we're doing well on the center-based either. I mean, many of the communities I represent have one. So this is a significant issue. What I like about this program, having been an entrepreneur 20 years ago, I also needed to have child care. I had family, center, all those models. And I also employed a lot of women who needed the very same things I did, and we worked together on a lot of these issues. But what I like about this is the online ability to help, because people need to have the ability to have access in Greater Minnesota to get this model. And what the program, from what I've looked into your model, does that I think is helpful for entrepreneurs, which that's what they are when they do family child care, or if they're going to open a center-based, they are an entrepreneur. And they need to understand the bit, they have a passion. And I had a passion for serving seniors, but you also have to understand the financials and the banking and the ability to sustain payroll and do those things. And I think when they're more efficient in the child care lane, their take-home pay increases, and it also keeps the family charges down. Because right now, family child care has been historically less expensive in Greater Minnesota than center-based. And we need the family model for the shift workers, for health care, manufacturing. And so by being efficient, it allows both pieces to happen, where you have quality child care, you have a livable wage for the entrepreneur, and you stop the escalation of costs to the family. So it's a dual prong. So I think the efficiencies are tremendously beneficial, and thank you for the bill. Thank you for bringing this bill forward, too, because I think it's really important for Minnesota. We have to get the horse, which is child care, so we can get people in the workforce. So thank you.
Closing statement.
Mr. Chair and members, thank you for the discussion today. I think my testifier shared some really concerning statistics. I think that we're all aware of on some level. But if you're not a parent of young children or a grandparent of young children, it's potentially something that's not on your mind day to day. So the business training that Women Venture provides is just a critical resource for people to be able to succeed in this space, and for us to support Minnesotans in their business ventures. And I think that there's nothing more important that people can be doing and that we can be directing our resources to than helping make Minnesota the best state to raise a family. So I appreciate your time and consideration.
Thank you, Representative Tune. While we redo my motion, a House File 4943, be later with House Resolution. Thank you. Next is House File 4848, Representative Hassan. Members, we have three bills and about a little bit over half an hour left, so we can be efficient with our testimonies and questions and answers to the point. I would really appreciate it so we can get out of here on time. To your bill, Representative Hassan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House File 4848 is the bill that I'm proud to present. This legislation asks for $2 million for workforce training with an entity in my district, African Immigrant Community Services. African Immigrant Community Services has been serving our community since 2007. They are at the heart of where the opioid and encampments meet on Franklin Avenue. And their door has been open to all of our communities, whether it's job training, whether it's support for families, whether it's food shelf, just people walking in and asking for support. And in the last 2 months, we have had, they have held six community conversations to talk to community about what are the trainings that you need to be gainfully employed and what are the barriers. And the two programs that have won the contest are young people, youth wanted tech training, tech skills training, and then many of the women in this community wanted nurse assistant trainings. And that's the two programs that we're asking for support. But this entity has been working in this space, has been doing training, and I have the executive director with me who's going to explain what the programs look like and how we plan to implement this program. Thank you.
Welcome to the committee. Please keep your testimony brief and state your name for the record, share your pronouns if you like, and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Shan. Thank you all committee members. My name is Muhammad Ahmed. I'm the Executive Director at African Immigrant Community Services. As Madam Chair Hassan said, our organization was founded in 2007 to help East African immigrants when there was a lot of East African and Somali refugee influx in the Twin City, so they can find somebody can help them. This bill, House File number 4848, is crucial for enhancing our capacity. Workforce is not something new to us. We've been working with the DEED and a variety of City of Minneapolis and county level in workforce programs. So this bill will help us to build our capacity. And we have, as the executive director, what really makes me sad or give me a look down when I have a young person coming in my office trying to be helped, but we don't have enough funds to help. We have been working with the state, especially we involved with a pilot program that was 2001-2002 Minnesota Economic Recovery Jobs that we were lucky to get it in. And then in 20 minutes when we put the advertisement, we have more than 100 youth employee responded. And we could not take them. We only have to take only 50. Our organization helping more than 700 community members with a variety of public health, the job creation is finding the resources. And community members and Chair Shan, we really appreciate for this opportunity. And Madam Chair, please, we urge you to consider and support for this bill, which will have a last impact on the lives of many. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Discussion.
Mr. Chair, we have one more testifier. We'll be brief.
Okay. If your testifier will please proceed. Be very brief. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record, show your pronouns if you like, and proceed with your testimony.
Hello, everyone. I'm Bilal. I'm a student at the University of Minnesota, and I'm here to speak about how the youth employment program at AICS helped me find and gain experience in various professional fields. The program helped me find an accounting, IT, and HR internship through the City of Bloomington at the Mall of America. Throughout my experience last summer, I got mentored by various people in the various departments at the mall. It helped me understand the job market, and by the end of my internship, I left the internship with hard skills that I believe that I can transfer into a career after college. This youth program helped me better understand the youth market or the job market for youths, and I truly believe that this program has helped me find gainful employment and will help other youth to do so as well. Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing your story this morning. Discussion? Seeing none, closing statement.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a great program, and it is going to support some of our new Americans integrate into our workforce, and we need, as all of us know in this committee, we need more workers in our workforce. So, I hope we can get support for this legislation. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Chair Hassan renews her motion. The House File 4848 be later for possible inclusion. Thank you, Chair Hassan. Next is House File 4690. Representative Frazier is not here, so stand in. Will be Chair Hassan, to the testifiers, if you are testifying on this bill, please go behind those podiums because I would like to move very briefly with this bill. Welcome to the committee again, Chair Hassan, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not Rep. Frazier, but I'm pretending to be him today. thank you, Mr. Chair. House File 4690 aims to allocate $500,000 annually for 4 years to the Minnesota Black Chamber of Commerce to expand supportive programs for black-owned businesses, addressing the systemic barriers and promoting equitable economic growth. As we all know that with our, you know, biased lending practices and redlining, our black community businesses struggle to find the resources that they need. There is so many different, you know, studies that talk about, you know, if you apply, you know, a loan and you are a black entrepreneur, chances of you being, you know, getting declined is higher than even if your credit is great and even if your business plan is perfect. And that's why we're here, is to ask for support for our small businesses. I know we're going to hear maybe this, how is this related to workforce. You know, entrepreneurship and, you know, support for businesses is directly related to workforce, because we, these businesses employ individuals, so they create jobs. All the small businesses have employees, so we want this to, remove the barriers for people and then inspire more people to want to be entrepreneurs and support them through that process. With that, Mr. Chair, I'm going to let my testifier do more justice for this bill.
Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record, share your pronouns if you like, and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Zong. My name is Samuel Ndeli. N-D-E-L-Y is my last name. Pronouns are he, him, his. And I just wanted to go ahead and read my testimony really quick. Good morning, Chair Zong and the distinguished members of the committee. I'm honored to be here today to address this esteemed committee and express my gratitude for the opportunity to speak. I want to extend my sincere appreciation for your efforts in fostering diverse economic landscape here in Minnesota. As we gather here, it is imperative to highlight the remarkable growth of black-owned businesses in our state. Over the past few years, these businesses have shown staggering 36.9% growth rate, a testament to both their vitality and immense potential. It's against this backdrop that we seek support for programs aimed at providing back office and technical assistance to further bolster these enterprises statewide. Yet, we cannot overlook the systemic barriers that black entrepreneurs face. These hurdles include limited access to capital, mentorship, networks, and not only impede individual success, but also stifle economic growth in our state as a whole. However, it's essential to recognize the significant economic contributions made by black-owned businesses. From employment opportunities to payroll figures, these enterprises play a crucial role in our economy. With appropriate support, their impact could be even greater. For the last 20 years, the Minnesota Black Chamber of Commerce has been at the forefront of supporting black entrepreneurs, spearheading initiatives like our recent 10,000 Black Business Program. Our track record demonstrates our commitment to effectiveness in utilizing resources to foster growth and prosperity. Our resources that we are requesting will specifically support the expansion of programs aimed to strengthen black businesses. This targeted approach ensures fiscal responsibility and focused strategy for addressing identified challenges. Supporting black businesses is not only about bolstering a segment of our economy, it's an investment in economic equity, prosperity for all Minnesotans. Economic development and business support transcend political divides, appealing to our shared interests in job creation, economic diversity, and community resilience. As we move forward with these resources, we will continue to emphasize our clear metrics for success and accountability measures to assure committee members these funds will be used effectively and will have a measurable impact. If questioned on why we focus specifically on black businesses, we must underscore the disproportionate barriers they face and the potential they hold to contribute significantly to our state's economy with targeted support. In conclusion, I urge this committee to vote in favor of appropriation outlined in House File 4690. This is not just about supporting black businesses. It's a strategic investment in Minnesota's inclusive economy future. Once again, I want to express my gratitude to the committee for their consideration, and hopefully your support will enhance our state's economic landscape. Thank you
for your testimony. Discussion. Lead Baker.
Mr. Chair, thank you for bringing this forward. And I've been a big supporter of chambers in general. Chambers I've been a member of the chamber in our area and the Minnesota Chamber for many, many years, and I think that they provide a wealth of knowledge and support for businesses that people don't really kind of understand. Yep. I had a really good conversation with Eli the other day. It was really, really helpful for me to understand kind of what you're doing. My question to you, Director, is have you had a chance to collaborate a lot with other chambers currently? With the Minneapolis Chamber, we've got the Minnesota Chamber, we've got the Latino Chambers. There's others out there.
Yes.
How are you all collaborating better to make sure that those barriers are gotten through so that when you do request money like this, this is supposed to be a seed money. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be able to do this with memberships. And that's the ultimate goal. It only works if you've got members that think that there's a value.
Most definitely.
Which is a hard job to do on your head. But again, you're asking for really three more years out, which is a lot of money, $1.5 million over the time. But what is the plan to kind of collaborate and also sustain?
Thank you, Chair Zhang and Representative Baker. Thank you so much for that question. I really appreciate it. So the great thing about I want to first address the point you made about membership. Membership is vital to every chamber, right, existence. We've seen our membership actually grow over the last few years, especially after the pandemic. We've seen an increase to black-owned businesses starting here in Minnesota specifically. And we do member mixers every month, and we continue to see more and more people coming. And the ways that we collaborate with the other chambers, we have a really, really great and unique relationship with both the St. Paul and Minneapolis Chamber. Every member of the Black Chamber gets reciprocity with the Minneapolis and St. Paul Chamber, so they also get membership pricing. We have both the chairs for the Minneapolis and St. Paul Chamber on our board, Jonathan Weinhangit and B. Kyle, respectively. They both serve on our board as well. And then we also have a relationship where we're part of the work stream program with St. Paul Chamber, where that we actually share some resources for back-end support for our operations. So the relationship is very strong. We actually, in next month, we're going to be hosting a business summit at the end of the month in April with the Hmong Chamber and the St. Paul Chamber as well, too, to really help provide that value to our membership and to also allow them to connect with other chambers and other businesses around the state. And then we also are doing, shared board mixers and things like that, just to kind of build resources, talk about, challenges that we're all facing, especially the ethnic chambers, for the reasons that representative shared around some of the historic barriers that we face as a black chamber and black entrepreneurs, other minority groups have faced similar challenges. So we talk about those as well, too, and how can we best educate our members about how to navigate those challenges.
Lead Baker.
Thank you.
Chair Baker.
Thank you, Chair Zhang, and the testifier kind of addressed this, but I just wanted to comment that I think we need to be really careful making direct comparisons between different chambers when we know that government policies and laws have led to different communities having less access to wealth and having less historical wealth. And so I just want to make sure we're being careful in the way that we make those comparisons, because we need to be mindful of the realities of what it is to be one of the businesses from your community, whether it's the Native community, Hmong community, whatever it is. But I just wanted to point that out, that I think we need to be careful.
No, most definitely, Representative. I appreciate that point.
Testifier.
I'm sorry. Yeah. No, yeah, I appreciate that point. Thank you, Chair Zhang. I appreciate that point, Representative. And yeah, we, as black entrepreneurs, we face very unique challenges. And we've already stated a number of them. But one of the things that we're trying to do moving forward is think uniquely. How do we help set us up for the next 20 years? This is our 20th year celebration this year. We were founded in 2004. So we want to be able to see how can we've never come to the state for any appropriations. We've been running very lean and nimble for the last 20 years, and we're trying to expand so we can truly be the Minnesota Black Chamber of Commerce. We have growing populations of black entrepreneurs in greater Minnesota, and with limited resources, it's a challenge to reach them. We want to also make them feel supported and included, the Rochesters, the Mankatos, St. Clouds, Duluth of the world. They need help, and they need resources, and we want to be able to make sure that we're reaching them as well.
Further discussion. Seeing none, closing statement.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members, for the discussion. If we want more inclusive, equitable, and prosperous Minnesota, we should invest in programs that have lifted from the bottom and support our small businesses. Thank you.
Chair Hassan will renew her motion on House File 4690. elated for possible inclusion. Thank you, Chair Son, and testifiers.
Thank you, everybody.
Next is House File 4930. I will move that House File 4930 be laid for possible inclusion. Representative Anderson, welcome to the committee. State your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Chair Zhang and the committee, thank you for hearing the bill this morning. We have a testifier lined up. Hopefully she lives about 4 hours away, and because of the weather and such and the early timing, she couldn't make it here in person. But 4930, a bill that requests a grant from your Workforce Development Fund. And I thought it was interesting, as you know, I'm a farmer, and in your first couple of bills you heard this morning, I heard mention of food and food security and even urban agriculture. So I think that kind of ties us all together in terms of the importance of agriculture to all of us here in Minnesota. Mr. Chair, in the interest of time, let's move to our testifier, who has an outstanding presentation to give you. It's short, but let's hear it if we can.
Okay.
I get to fill here for a few minutes, but what this bill does is provide grants up to $75,000 per applicant to secondary schools for career and tech ed education in the areas of meat cutting and processing. And there was an earlier round back in 2022, I believe it was. And there were double the applications for the funding available. So I think that gives an example and shows how the demand is out there for this type of programming. And again, coming out of the pandemic and even during the pandemic, we saw that there were some shortcomings in our processing system, especially with some of the large packers, and that we need to increase the number of small and medium-sized packers, processors here in Minnesota. And this bill would go a long ways in helping to address that workforce shortage. And I think we're ready.
I don't know, Mr. Chair. I'm not sure how to get this connected. So it is a YouTube video, so I'll be happy to share the YouTube link with when we're done here. I don't want to spend a whole bunch of time trying to do this because I'm not 100% sure what I'm doing. So I do the things I know how to do, and it didn't work, so we'll have to just move on. Sorry.
You will move to.
Oh, there it was. Oh, it was there. Oh, come on. Hang there on. There it is. Never mind.
Go.
Oh.
Now we've got the audio one.
Yeah, look at that.
Wow.
Audio and all. No.
Who's the audio? I've never seen anything working.
That's why we need to know. That's on me. Yeah.
Can you play it on your phone?
No. It's there, but I don't know. Like I said, again, I'm not sure the reason the technology will be updated in the building renovation. So apologies, members. It's all I'm capable of doing. So.
Well, I'm sure she has great things to say. If you represent Anderson, if you could send us email, that video testimony, we would appreciate it. We'll move to this discussion. I see Lee Baker is up.
I had a question that was trying to buy some time because I have a question for the end of the meeting real quick, Mr. Chair, too. But. Just to the bill, Representative Anderson, again, our local school has started this meat cutting program at Ridgewater recently, and they are getting some very strong support for this. I think that this kind of a thing through the Minnesota state system, workforce development for all over the state of Minnesota is a very reasonable request. I really do hope that this does get funding. These kind of industries are falling by the wayside. And again, this is about food security. We got to make sure we have the people that are trained to properly and safely handle our proteins going forward. So this is really important. I want to just say I really support the bill. And firsthand knowledge with Ridgewater, they're doing wonderful things with that. So I hope we can expand it. Representative Anderson, thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, closing remarks, Representative Anderson.
Well, Chair, I do have a copy of the her testimony. I'd like to read just one paragraph. This is from Amy Maston, who is an ag teacher up in Callier, Minnesota. And she says, I've enjoyed watching our students grow from this experience and seeing them take pride in their cuts of meat. One student said that this class was like home for him because he likes to process deer with his grandpa. Another student gives this class credit for her ability to take initiative. The lessons we are teaching in this career and technical education course go far beyond specific career development, just illustrates the the importance of these classes for long-term job development and, again, keeping our food system in a safe and fashionable mode. So, Mr. Chair, I would encourage support for this relatively small grant. The need is there, and, again, would encourage your support.
Thank you, Representative. Senator, I will renew my motion at House File 4930 be later for possible inclusion. Thank you, Representative. Okay, seeing that we have no more bills on the agenda for today, just want to remind folks that next week we have a full hearing. I believe we have 13 bills. And so if we could be as efficient as we are today for next week's hearing, I would really appreciate it. And then the following week, we are off, and so we will not meet. And then when we come back, I'm hoping we get something by then from the Speaker in the Senate, and we will hopefully will roll out, have a bill to roll out if we do have a target, if where Chair Hassan and I are and talks to the Senate to see where the Senate is, because that's the holdup right now, is we're trying to find out where the Senate's going, if the Senate wants to do anything this year. And so I know, Lee Baker, you had a question.
I do, Mr. Chair. Thank you. I guess part of it was what you just explained. You don't know yet what our target actually is. You're still negotiating with the other body. But when it comes to the Workforce Development Fund, are we the only committee that that fund is going through? That's not being shared, I assume, with the Labor Committee or other committees, but do we have any idea what that number looks like? Because, again, it's not like dependent on the general fund. That's a different fund. But will that be announced at the same time, or do you sort of have a general idea? Because we're seeing a lot of requests through that fund. So is there any indication of what that number might be on that fund, Mr. Chair?
We do have some sort of idea of what is available, but the question is, what can we use? And so that's what's being discussed right now. And I honestly don't have a solid response for you. And like I said, as soon as I find out, we'll make sure that everyone is aware of what's going on. Chair Hassan and I are making attempts to also speak with the Senate, too, with the Senate, our Senate counterpart. And so, like I said, as soon as we find out what the situation is, we will inform all members of the committee here. I know it's very challenging for us to try to do anything before knowing if we even have a budget target. I mean, ideally, I'd like for us to do something with the available workforce funds that we do have, because we have heard stories from folks from all over the state about their needs and their communities, from your side of the aisle to our side of the aisle. And I would like to do something. That is my intention. Okay. But the question is, what do we have available?
Well, Mr. Chair, we'll continue to wait for that. Again, I think it's helpful to know, too, for committee members, what the Workforce Development Fund actually is. It's something that is driven by a lot of the small contributions by employers. And generally, what is collected in a given year? Can anybody tell us that? Maybe nonpartisan? Is it just a? I'm just kind of curious. So we all kind of have our head around what is this fund, and then also just have a final question too before we wrap it up. So I know we're running out of time, but what is it? Just workforce generally? What does that look like every year? Whether we spend it or not, I'm just going to what it looks like.
So it's a payroll tax that employers paying through 0.1%. And average, it's about, I'll leave it to nonpartisan. Ms. Ng is pulling up the data, but this information is available publicly. If anyone wants to, they can contact our future staff too. So, Ms. Ng.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, the Workforce Development Fund receives about $70 million per year.
Thank you. Final question would be just sort of one of the things we brought up early was just the technical bill we're waiting for paid family medical leave. I have reached out to Deed a number of times and waiting for any kind of idea what that technical bill that they said is coming is going to look like. Do you know when we'll be able to see that so we can add thoughts and add ideas? And I think I want to make sure that we are setting some time aside, Mr. Chair, for that robust conversation that needs to happen. And I'm hoping that you're planning on that. I know we haven't had a chance to talk offline. Maybe we could. But if that is that still your plan for the rest of this session?
I have not heard from Deed. I know that Deed is here. I saw Daryl earlier. But like you, I have similar questions too. I was told yesterday that the email that you sent out, that they have just dropped the bill. And so when we do see that bill, if it does happen, I, of course, would love to have a hearing on it. We will have to find time because we are running out of time. And so if Ms. Dannon is here, if she would like to give us an answer. Welcome, Ms. Dannon. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed to answer Representative Baker's question.
Happy to, Chair. My name is Darielle Dannon, and I'm the Government Relations Director at DEED. Good, we found the owner of the lost portfolio. thank you, Representative. And just to restate your question, I think you had inquired about the timing of the paid leave is what we're going to be renaming the program, but the paid leave technical changes that the agency is suggesting. And those items were included in the governor's supplemental budget that was released last Monday. And so the chair is indeed correct that we did get bill language released, and I would expect that to be included in introductions. I believe you're having floor session on April 2nd. So I would anticipate it probably being included in those introductions that day. But we will, our staff is checking with those two authors in the House and Senate who are planning to carry that bill. So we will confirm with them that that's their intention. So I would anticipate, you know, not an expert in all the machinations of where bills get sent, but certainly would anticipate that that would get sent here or potentially to Representative Hassan's committee.
Lee Baker.
And thank you for that. Again, I know it started here last session and it ended here last session, so I certainly hope for the majority it starts here too, and wherever it goes after that is up to the majority. But you know, we're workforce and this is a big issue, and I've been talking with a lot of folks along the way, and the reason I'm just desperate for the details of a bill is that's how we think around here. You know, it's the governor had a lot of ideas in there, and some of them are hard to capture under the same idea as a typical bill would be. So that's why I need that support. I put in a bill earlier this year to offer other ideas about flexibility with some different kinds of employers, seasonal employees, very small employers. Greater Minnesota has some other issues. So I do want to look forward to continuing this because I think that we've learned through all of our conversations that not everybody is the same. It's different in rural Minnesota. Representative Brand, as you mentioned very clearly, it's different. But it's also different here. We need to support different things for different groups here in the urban market. So just, I want to make sure, if I could, with all due respect, I want to make sure we have plenty of time to dive into that bill because it's going to be, it's a super mandate bill for the way we're going to do business in Minnesota going forward. It's a law. I understand that. I just want to make sure we have time to make it better. And I appreciate your time on that.
Lee Baker, if the bill comes to our jurisdiction, I will dedicate a whole day if we need to hear the bill.
Thank you.
It's just a matter of finding a time for it. I know that we have several bills that have came in within the last week or so, and I'm like, we have no more hearings left. And so I know that Representative Lesnick reached out to me early on too, and so that's why I'm trying to include all of her bills and make sure that we make it in on time. And for other members who are thinking about introducing bills, good luck.
Yeah. And Mr. Chair, to that, we stand committed to, if we have to work some evenings, that we're ready to do that. These are important things. So appreciate your time on that, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Committee is adjourned.